Shredding your sanity layer by layer, we are the audio assault of Sonic Massacre and Mayhem, your mother warned you all about. 665.66 UHMR Chemrat Radio, coming to you live tonight from the hangnail down on sublevel 999.
Just when it seemed like we would never hear from them again.
Surprise, motherfucker!
The Corridor 54 killer is back, on the prowl, leaving another four skinned bodies hung from the Krinbeck Habstacks. Makes you wonder, how much of this blood rain is actually industrial runoff?
That's a disturbing thought. I just got some in my mouth. Staying warm and dry, I am your neon-splattered plasma fiend Goblin King, joined today by my co-host, the madman of power-mauled mayhem, Marky.
Hello, motherfucker.
What's up, people?
And we are joined today by our special guest, the Pied Piper of Parasites, Patrick.
Hola.
Welcome to Under the Hive of...
Sorry.
No, now you got to do it. Now you got to do the whole thing.
I missed it. It was for Patrick.
These okay. Nuts.
These nuts. Welcome to Under the Hive of Madness, episode 75, Community Spotlight. Patrick, 40K hasn't always been the most popular or the most well-known of games. And in some ways, 40K players still get stereotyped pretty hardcore. Pretty hardcore. No one stereotypes us as being hardcore. We get stereotyped pretty badly. There you go. Some of us old hammer players have been playing the game for a long time. Marky, Chuckerfly, and I being the longest playing members of the cast. Whatever jokes can be made about us 40K gamers, there are as many positives to both the 40K and tabletop wargame community as there are those kind of like negative, like you don't shower things. In my opinion, the biggest being the people we meet and forge lifelong relationships and friendships with. Much like storytelling itself, I feel that games are a foundational component to community and therefore civilization as we know it. With the explosion of popularity in all things geeky and nerd culture, we've seen a lot of people come forward and talk about how gaming has helped them. From providing just an escape and a place to throw some dice, or allowing for that creative outlet to meditative or zen-like side that we get with hobbying, to the mental health support and benefits that many gamers have started to sort of share about the deep and enriching communities that we end up being involved with.
Patrick.
Yes, Mark.
I know. It's we've known each other a minute. All right. For all of you that don't know, I just met Patrick. And we're actually really, really good friends. As much as he denies it, he is a very near and dear friend to me.
Some may say more than friends.
He was there for my daughter's birth. We're practically lovers. So that's kind of how that works.
Like a Warhammer marriage instead of a work marriage.
Yeah, pretty much. You know, we've bonded through the trials and tribulations of the military. Unless Patrick doesn't, do you not identify as a veteran?
Oh no, I definitely identify as a veteran. I responded to that email accordingly.
Oh, okay, a work email, you know.
Yeah.
So Patrick, I recall it. I don't know. I have a horrible memory. Right. Everybody that knows me on the podcast knows I have a horrible memory. It's just how my Ryan take that shit.
Was it this email? Was it this email? Was it this email? Was this the email?
please remove that from your screen, please.
And was it from the guy who was only in for 4 years who never went anywhere that shared it? That's all I'm asking.
All right.
Sorry. I don't know what happened. Technical glitches all over the place today.
So I could remember it differently, but Patrick, how did we meet?
Like, how do we meet? M-E-A-T?
Nobody, maybe some people want to know, but nobody wants to know. How did we meet each other?
So,
what were your first thoughts of me, by the way? I'm curious.
Who the hell is this nappy-headed weirdo?
I didn't have any hair.
Yeah, no, you look like a Brillo pad.
I probably did.
No, we were doing a PFT. Physical fitness test, and it was time to do crunches. And I got partnered up with this guy I've seen around, but I never really talked to him. He's kind of nerdy.
Fat Marine that wears glasses. I wasn't that fat. I was all right.
Yeah, no, you were like, you know, three sizes away from fluffy. So,
but not fat.
So yeah, we do crunches. You know, he's crunching away. Then afterwards, he's like, "Hey, I live out in town. Can I change in your barracks room?"
Yeah, but talk about the crunches though. You're gonna
why don't I go back to your crunches? Why he did 100. Everybody congratulate him. He did 100 crunches.
All right, good job,
Margie.
But it's vital to the story. It's vital to the story because this is how we built trust. This is how we built trust.
Well, you have a horrible memory. How are you remembering this?
The only thing I can crunch 100 times is Doritos, so that is impressive.
It's vital to the story because it built trust. Because we bonded through our integrity, right? So I don't remember who went first. I think he went first. And I started counting, right? And I'm like 1, 2, 10, 35, 40, 94, 95.
So you're as 96. Good as you're as good at counting as you are at maps? Got it.
What are you trying to say?
That explains his 40K win streak, but
yeah. 100%. I saw nothing wrong with what I did.
17 anyways, successes. Marky rolled 2 dice. I don't know. Why are we having this? 17 successes. I don't know. Right.
What did you roll? Don't worry about it. All right. They all passed. So they all hit. So after I built this trust with him, because he returned the favor and was really bad at counting as well, I was like, "Hey, dude, let me, you mind if I change at your barracks?" You
know? Which is kind of suspect, but I was like, "All right, whatever."
It's a little. You know, I was like, "All right, I built trust with this guy." All right, continue, Patrick. Now you're telling the story wrong, so I had to fix it.
Okay, so you're changing in my barracks room. That's how I'm starting it from now. And so while he's changing, I don't know why, but he's snooping through all my stuff.
Damn, we remember this story way different.
When Mark tells this story, this isn't how it...
It sounds way more sensual when I tell it for some reason. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, he's snooping through my like my dresser, and I got my my pile of codexes in the right there in the dresser, and he's like, "Do you play 40K?
I did not ask like that, you fucking bastard. Tell him how I asked you. Hey, man, you got, do you know about 40K?
So the way that Marky tells this story when you're not here, Patrick.
So I was balls deep in Patrick, right? So
both inches.
That's what I said. Balls deep.
So he's in there because you're being a real nice guy to him. But you're a very seductive person. So you stand next to your locker and you slowly run your finger up it as you're standing on one high-heeled foot.
Yeah.
And then you slowly
fuck eyes at me.
And you slowly open the locker and millions of Tyranids fall out as you say to Marky, "So, do you know what 40K is?" That's how he tells the story to us. So set the record straight, because obviously that's not what happened.
Well, stop trying to be cool, Patrick, and tell him how the story went. All right.
So he's like, "Do you play 40K?
Oh my god!
I was like, "Yeah." Why? He's like, "Cause I do too."
You're a bitch, man.
Checks out.
And then I was like, "Check this out." And so I open my wall locker, and on the top shelf, there's about 20 Tyranids, and then a bunch of termites come flooding out. You know, it wasn't Tyranids. Like, no, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, what the it fuck
was,
do you call it?
It was completely
okay, I was cool. Like, holy shit, that would freak me out. I'd be like,
A bunch of termites and asbestos fall out.
I wouldn't be surprised about the asbestos.
Yeah.
Oh, I know what base you guys were at.
So yeah, I had all my my Tyranids in there. I had them in like, this is back before I can afford anything. So I had them in like shoe boxes and all these like, you know, really ghetto containers. And then I had my Space Marines and a little bit of tile. Well, again, you're
trying to keep a low profile, right? So
well, I didn't have that much space or money to buy any of the stuff.
That too. I still got, you know, plastic boxes and shoe boxes that I keep my shit in, but. I think Ryan is also somewhat brought it up, and he might bring it up later. But basically, you know, we were closet 40K gamers at the time. This was back in like the early, like 2000, Like late 2009, 2010, maybe.
It's 2010.
Yeah,
because so it was after Tyranids, the fifth edition codex came out, which was in January of 2010.
Yeah, so it was that is how the love story started between Patrick and I. He doesn't tell it the same way. I'm sorry. You know, if you're listening to this, it's because Patrick's the cool friend, right? And I'm like the really cool friend. So
yeah,
it's
the friend.
Yeah, that's how I would have. That's how I always lead. This is my definitely cool friend, so and so, and I'm way cooler.
Exactly. Exactly.
Now, Patrick has not only been one of our longest supporters, even predating the actual existence of the podcast, but as we just found out, he's also someone who is instrumental in Marky's progress into the game and hobby. And so since we've mentioned him more than once in the podcast, it's about damn time that we interviewed you properly. So
thanks for having me. This is so exciting.
Yeah, man.
I've been talking to you guys while you were on the podcast. I'll be hearing you. I'll be trying to respond to some of the things you say, but you can't hear me because it was, you know, just a podcast. But now I can actually, you know.
Yeah, you can respond.
All right. Exactly. So first, not actually on our questionnaire for community spotlight question, but first interview question. How much time do you spend shouting at the radio because we mispronounced or said something wrong? I just.
Out of curiosity.
Oh, man. Probably around like maybe 15, 20 times per podcast, depending on what the topic is. I'll be like, no, you said that wrong. Or, you know, you're talking about certain Star Wars characters. And I'll be like, okay, this is my take on that. And I'll be like, no, Ryan can't hear me. I'll text Mark and have Mark tell him for me.
All right, and then out of those 15 times, we know that once is when I misinterpret a Star Wars character, but the other 14 times are when Mark doesn't understand basic geography, right?
Oh gosh.
Hey, Ryan,
how did you swim here from Mexico, what? Mark?
Yeah, dude, fast. So it doesn't take much, all right? You know, there's only that one fence, and you only have to swim about like 200 yards out to the fence and then back in. So it's not too bad.
He bought a 31-foot ladder from me. It's fine. Right,
and then my mom put me on swim team. She's like, damn. All right. So with that being said, how do you feel like you learned a lot more about me on the podcast versus us just fucking around playing 40K.
I'm so glad. I thought you were going to say, have you learned more about 40K for the podcast? Patrick be like, no, y'all are dumbass.
Nah, like honestly, you guys are great. Like, you're very informative, sometimes to the point where it's like, all right, I get it.
It's M49.213.
Well, no, I mean, that's all great. My thing is like, I'm not totally in love with all the armies.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's, you know, but that, I'm sure everyone has, you know, something like that too.
Yeah, but, for sure.
No, I feel like I learned a little bit more about how stupid you can be, Mark.
Yeah, you know.
These guys seem very educated. Why is Mark here?
Yeah, I say the same thing, dude. Thank you.
I mean, I guess you're the comic relief, which...
That's sad.
You know, that shows everyone else needs to set their game up because Mark He's bottom tier.
No.
He's good at being the bottom. That's about it.
Don't even. So that's all I needed to hear was that I'm the funny one on the podcast. Now I've been validated.
No, good. No.
We can stop the interview. It's fine.
He didn't say you were the funniest one. He said that he was pretty sure you were the comic relief.
Yeah. In interpreting that is being the funniest one. Yes. Thank you.
Or the butt of the joke, one of the two, right?
That's not what we're talking about now.
He definitely brings up butt jokes a lot. So
he does.
Just a couple. All right. So to continue the interview, how dirty is my mouth now compared to then?
Oh my god!
About the same.
Well, I mean, I can clean out your mouth for you if you like.
Thank you. All right, we can move on now.
Did you attempt to shot or did you attempt to turn episode 69 into a drinking game with every time I said fuck?
How did you like episode 69 before you answer that question?
That was
episode 69.
No.
Yes. Yes, that was a damn good episode. Don't you fucking lie to me right now.
I said fuck so many times in that episode.
You enjoyed it. Don't be a bitch. You enjoyed it.
Oh, Mark.
you're so... Why are you doing this to me right now?
I'm not doing anything to you.
Yeah, but you know what you're doing right now, right?
You know what you're doing to me, right?
Uh-oh. All right. So it was a link that was posted that I clicked on. You know, the thing I'm not supposed to do when I apply. There are certain things I'm not supposed to look up, and I'm not supposed to just click random links. So, Patrick, how did you get into tabletop gaming, and what specifically led you into miniatures from whatever your introduction to tabletop gaming was?
So it was actually 40K. I believe I was in sixth grade, maybe it's 22 years ago. And one of my friends, he had an older brother who, I guess, you know, he was in high school, probably heard about it from somebody else. And so
touch your no-no place.
I call it the yes-yes place.
Oh.
But so, yeah, he brought in, I guess, Eldar and Lizardmen. I don't know why, but
show me showing off these models. Where he touched and then
the tail.
Sorry. Continue.
No, so then I guess the kids in my class are playing it. They started collecting Space Marines, and I always, you know, I was like, oh, that's so cool. But I looked at the price, and I was like, oh, that would be cool.
Yeah. My famous story of how I begged my mom to buy me one Space Marine. How did your parents react? I know you come from a very well off family, Patrick.
Totally. You know, Southside Chicago, we're stacked with cash.
Yeah, I've seen your house. It looks like the house from Desperate Housewives. It's
you don't know how desperate my housewife is.
So how did your parents react when you asked them to buy you a box or a blister? Do you have a story on that? Or they were pretty accepting of it. They're like, oh, my son wants an innocent hobby that's not drugs.
No, they looked at it. They're like, oh, you should probably buy drugs.
Drugs would be cheaper.
No, I told my parents. I was like, oh, this is so cool. And I showed, because my friends let me borrow their white dwarf. And so that, and it wasn't exactly, I don't think it was a white dwarf. I think it was like a catalog, like the old 40K Citadel catalog.
Catalogs. Yeah.
Yes. And so, you know, I was telling them like, oh, Space Marines are so, you know, the Assault Marines. Because I remember seeing the Assault Marines and they look so dope with their giant backpacks and their swords and their little guns.
Which chapter?
Ultramarines.
Really? Because I feel like the Blood Angels Assault Marines look way fucking cooler, dude, with the yellow helmets and the beakies. You know what I'm talking about?
I know what you're talking about, but this is like kids in the class actually bringing it physically into school.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, it's more of a physical reference. So that's why I really, you know, liked it. I was like, oh, they look so dope. So, you know, I told my parents. And then Easter rolled around, and they gave me, for Easter, this Imperial Guard Codex.
Really?
Third edition. And Colonel, was it Schaffner? Last Chancers?
Last Chancers?
Yes.
That's fucking dope. They're like, this is cool. It's not what I wanted, but it's cool.
Yeah, and yeah, we've been playing it at school using like milk cartons as cover, and it was very basic. It was either like, it was like you always hit on a 4 and then you get your armor saved. There's no rolling to wound or ballista skill or any of that.
Yeah.
Which sucked when you're an Imperial Guard and they just use your normal armor save of 5+ against a Terminator. And you don't play by points, you play by models. So they could have 3 models, and I'll have 3 models, and I'll have Colonel Schaefer, Grease Monkey, and Ox, and they would
just wreck you every time.
Yep. Then I had Yarik, and Yarik, you know, he would die, but then he'd come back, and then he'd die again.
Yarik's good at that.
Have that power claw.
Oh, he's coming back.
You think so?
You better. I didn't use him as my handle for like 15 years for no reason.
That's right.
So your introduction to tabletop gaming in general was 40K. You didn't do the like D&D or Magic anything. You just jumped right in.
No, I've only played D&D once. 7th grade, a year after 40K, I got introduced to Yu-Gi-Oh! And I still have my deck around here. But yeah, no, it was tabletop gaming, then card gaming.
Yeah, I remember Yu-Gi-Oh! That shit was huge.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. So I know I've shared this story before, and I know this is your spotlight, Patrick, but I'm going to share it anyway because
this you're an asshole like that.
Because I'm a co-host on this podcast and I do what the fuck I want. Unless Ryan says differently.
I was about to say, I can mute him. I mean, I can mute him. It's fine. No.
All right. So anyways, I was, so Easter, right? It's funny that you share an Easter story, because, mine also happened around Easter. But instead of a 40K model, I also asked for Pokemon cards at the time. I'm a little bit younger than Patrick. So Pokemon was a little bit before Yu-Gi-Oh, I want
to
say.
I was trying to find a really big gif of Matt Damon turning into an old man, because you were like 22 years ago in sixth grade, and I was like, oh fuck.
about that. But so Easter rolls around, and I didn't know that you give gifts on Easter. I don't give my kids gifts. I don't know if that was a thing or not. But anyways, I go and I ask my parents for 40K stuff. They completely ignore me. And I'm like, okay, well, what about Pokemon cards? Can I get Pokemon cards? They're like, yeah, sure, we can get you Pokemon cards. And I was a brokey, you know, back in the day. I didn't have a job when I was, you know, 8, 9 years old. And neither did my parents.
What kind of Mexican are you?
I know, right? Yeah. Well, I got one at 16, though, so it's all right. I redeemed myself. So I got Pokemon cards, but they were all Japanese, because those ones were cheaper than the American ones. I got Pocket Monsters. I didn't get Pokemon. So,
oh, yeah, that one right there, right next to the Blastoise.
That's right. But yeah, mine had that backing. If you look at the back of the cards, Ryan, for $3, $6, or $9, you can see on Patreon what Ryan's trying to show us. That's what my cards look like on the back.
Oh my god, it's so awesome. You need to subscribe to Patreon to see this, for real.
It's so sweet. All of my cards look like that, when all the other kids' cards, you know, you could actually read them.
You know what's really funny is now people pay extra fucking money for this stuff.
Oh, dude.
Like, if you still had them, you put the, I guarantee you they're worth more than whatever the American translation is.
Wouldn't be surprised if that was a thing. But yeah, I remember when I was playing the other kids, I would make up abilities because I couldn't read the card. So I'd be like, this Oddish, it poisons you and you take 20 damage every turn. They're like, what? And I'm like, yep, that's what it says right here. Like, you read Japanese? I was like, I read enough.
And that worked?
Yeah, they totally did.
Like, I just would have, I mean, and maybe this is just the type of kid I was, but I would have found my Oddish card and I'd been like, no, it's not its abilities.
It was a different Oddish card. It wasn't like the standard American cards.
Oh, I see. It had different art. Yeah,
different art, different attacks, different abilities. Yeah.
This fucking weird weeb.
I know, right? So that's my Easter story to
nobody
parallel
played
with Patrick.
You, right?
No, everybody hated me.
So you're alone.
I always won. So
your entire introduction was just directly straight into Warhammer 40K, and your first army was Imperial Guard.
Yes.
Now, it was that. Did you collect more at that point, or you know? So you're in grade school, essentially, and you're starting to mess around, which is about, I bought my first kit when I was 12, so it's right around the same time. Yeah, but like, same. I had this whole thing where I bought an Eldar kit, I bought a second edition Eldar kit, and then I probably didn't like play until third edition came out in like 99. That was like my first time I actually played a full game. I had played parts of a game here and there in second, but second was kind of a mess anyway. But two, like, I just didn't, you know, I literally owned like 7 models. So did you go through a similar thing, or were you, you know, plastic was already out enough that you could start like kind of collecting and you could start playing up and building up at that point? What was that journey like?
So I don't think I've actually played an actual game until maybe fourth, almost fifth edition. But after I got the Last Chancers, I then used I was raised Catholic, so we have a communion, and so in the communion, your aunts and uncles and everything give you gifts or money. And so I used that money to buy the third edition box set, which came with the rule book, I think 10 or 20 Black Templars, 20 Dark Eldar.
Damn,
ruins.
How much money did they give you, dog?
Well, it was on sale because someone ripped it open and took the special edition model. So it was like 50 bucks.
Damn, dude.
I honestly think it was only like we bought two. I worked for the Wizards of the Coast when this came out. And we used to carry them on the shelves. I bought one box and one of my coworkers bought another box. And then we did the thing where I gave him all of the Space Marines and he gave me all the Dark Eldar. Okay. And I want to say the box was like, I mean, there was probably an employee discount, but I want to say this box was only like 98 or 99 bucks, which I realize is a lot of money when you're young.
Young, yeah. But I mean, I wish I would have bought like 10 of them and sold them right now.
Right?
Right.
Yeah, exactly. And you can whip each other with a little thingy. Anyway.
Oh, I still have mine. I have one. It's right there. I see it.
Do you keep the boxes?
I did for a while until it started to tear because it was really,
yep,
really, it got really old.
Yeah, same thing happened with my, was it Black Reach? Is that what it was called?
Yeah, Black Reach.
Yeah, that was. I kept that box for a while until my wife was like, "You need to get rid of these boxes." I'm like, "But they're so cool, like the cover art, and I like having it because it's cool."
Like, yeah, it's a big physical thing that represents your collection.
I remember taking a picture of my recycle bin when I threw away all my boxes. It was a sad day.
Aww.
I know,
one,
right?
One just, tear.
Yeah, it was a really hard time for me taking all of my boxes that I grew up with and making that walk of shame to my trash can.
It's not the first time you made a walk of shame, Mark.
It's not, and it won't be my last time.
So what out of the game appeals to you to the most? Is it the hobby side? Do you like, you know, painting and building miniatures? Is it the lore side of it? Do you like really kind of diving into the stories and all that stuff? Or is it the game mechanics and tactics side? Is it actually playing? What's the thing that really grabs you about 40K?
I got this. Don't worry, Patrick. So what he... So what he really likes is to play the game. Go ahead, Patrick. I'm sorry.
It used to be. It's more like the aesthetic of what the miniatures look like. Like if you look open a codex and you see, it'll show a bunch of models. Like it'll be a city landscape. You know, a little city terrain. You got your Cadians on the top of the building with sandbags, with las cannons or heavy bolters, and they're fighting like 100 Tyranid models, and you know, I just imagine like let's see how that would play out in real time. So I don't know. That's just like I want to try to kind of recreate that.
So like the immersion of the tabletop game.
Yes, immersion.
The immersion of the game is what you like, and I agree. I'm actually very similar in that mindset of liking. That's why like I have like a ton of different battle mats and a ton of terrain, being able to make like a cinematic battle. Like that's why like the whole idea of like Gundams, for example, I always wanted to make a diorama of like a Gundam battle where like there's craters all over the place and there's like a Gundam flying up in the air, shooting its big ass gun down at another one, getting fucking blown to pieces. Just the immersion and like the look of it. Always one of those things that makes the game just feel good, right? You know, it's that nice pop of the fuck is that hormone or dopamine? Hormone that you get, that dopamine plug that you get when you have like a really badass battle and it looks sick and there's all these things that are happening. And I think that's something that not many players have that same outlook.
Yeah, which is that picture right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could just like
100%,
you know, feel that. Like it almost looks similar to like Dawn of War.
Video game. 100%.
I've always liked the epic scale of like city fight and just wanting to really densely pack a table and have one of those multi-layered, multi-floor fights.
I was gonna say almost like Necromunda, right? Like Necromunda, the players...
Lots of verticality, investment into what's going on.
A lot of Necromunda players really like the immersion aspect of the game, which is why I feel like I think Necromunda players are like my people. Not that I have anything against competitive players or lore players or anything like that, but I feel like the Necromunda players really, they're there for like the immersion, right? They're there for the storytelling. They're there for it to look really fucking cool.
Yeah, the models are dope.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's why, like, I haven't been able to find a Necromunda player. I mean, I don't look hard. I'm sure it's pretty easy to find one nowadays. I am extremely lazy, but I feel like those are my people. So if any of you listeners play Necromunda, hit me up.
So we've kind of beat around the bush a little bit with this one, but it sounds like you have more than one army. So who's your primary?
Well, that's just what we call pillow talk, baby.
Who's your primary army and what forces have you collected?
So my primary army is Tyranids. And I've also collected, let's see here, I wrote this down, Space Marines, Imperial Guard, Tau, Chaos, Demons, Death Guard, some Orcs, and some Necron.
And this is just what you have, right? Not what you had or anything like that. This is just what you have currently.
Yes, this is what I have currently. I've got about almost 19,000 points of Tyranids.
Damn, dude.
6,500 points of Space Marines, 14,000 points of Imperial Guard, 9,000 of Tau. All the Chaos put together is about 18,000. So I calculated this morning, I got about 68,000 points of models altogether.
That's damn fucking gnarly.
That's crazy, man.
And my wife hates me for it.
Yeah, don't they all? Don't they all, right? Anything that a man loves, a woman's just like, I can't, like, why? Why does this bring you happiness? Why isn't it me bringing you happiness? And it's just like, you know, where's my fucking soundboard? It's like every fucking thing that makes you happy in this world, that your significant other's like, I can't believe it's not me, right?
I just noticed.
Am I alone?
Like,
am I alone?
More house plants have started showing up.
A lot more.
And I think that's one of those things where like there's a little bit of a glance into the office and there's like, oh, is that a new army? Oh.
Why don't you mind your fucking business?
I guess we're going to get a couple more tropical plants then.
Yeah, pretty much, right?
When you tell her you bought something new, do you always say it like, oh, I got a great deal on this?
Fuck no.
I always preference it like that.
No,
it's like,
fuck
yeah, I got
no.
like half off.
It's like that meme. The thing that I fear the most after I die is that my wife sells my Warhammer 40k army for what
right.
I told her I paid for it.
That shit with me. No,
that's me 100%.
I'm lucky enough to be the one who manages all the money, so I don't gotta say shit.
I don't. It's not that me and my wife. We still have separate bank accounts. We're just too lazy to merge them. So I'll get a box in the mail, you know, consisting of a Bane Blade, you know,
what's
four
that?
Squads of Ogryns, you know, a Hierophant.
I feel like I sent this to you.
Yeah.
Like, this sounds familiar.
Yeah. Like all these models. And she knows, she's been to a store with me. She knows how much they could be. And I'm like, yeah, I got this for like a quarter of what it normally costs. And just, you know, throw out some weird number, but. That's how you got to keep her happy.
As your fingers are crossed behind your back.
You're like, don't ask questions in which you don't want to know the answer. Okay. That's how we're going to start this conversation. Okay, wifey. And then she slaps you and you're just like, okay, I'm sorry.
Well, that's why I get her for like Mother's Day or whatever. I get her like something expensive, like a laptop, and she doesn't want it. That way I could always be like, well, you got that laptop.
Like, no, you accept this, all right? You accept this, so that way when I buy something that I want, you can't say shit.
Exactly.
It's like a get out of jail free card. That's what that is.
Do your wives listen to the podcast?
No.
I mean, by virtue of the fact that she's like maybe 25 feet away from me, but no.
We did
I'm just
not,
waiting for her to poke her head in the back.
We did not. By the way, Ryan and I did not plan that, all right? It just so happened that we were on the same wavelength.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've also pretty much figured out that, like, the cast members who aren't involved with any particular show aren't avid listeners. So that's why we, you know, if Kev isn't on, we'll talk shit about Kev.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
If Chuck isn't on, we'll talk shit about Chuck.
Yeah, fuck Chuck.
Everybody kind of gets their little moment of, we're going to talk shit about you because they're not on the cast.
Yeah, fuck you, Chuck. Where are you right now? Huh?
All right. So what is your favorite 40K faction? And this doesn't have to be, well, no, tell us your favorite 40K faction to play. Tell us your favorite 40K faction for lore.
Oh, man.
Or looks. Aesthetic works, too. I mean, I know, like, I think all of us have pretty much made decisions to collect an army because it looks cool, not because it plays well, or not because the lore functions.
Well, for playstyle, it would probably be either 5th edition Tyranids or 6th edition Tau.
Okay.
Was that the Riptide edition?
That's when Riptide first came out.
You fucking...
So it wasn't even the Riptide. So, it was the... You put a drone controller on a commander, which gave all drones his ballistic skill of 2+, and then you stick him in with 2 gun drones into a unit of 12 gun drones. So it's 14 gun drones shooting twice twin linked. So it's 28 shots hitting on 2s, rerolling misses. That's a dead brood of it's a dead guns.
Is that because somebody got fucked? Is that what just
happened? Yeah, that's exactly what that soundboard.
So that's very gunline. Mm-hmm. Tyranid 5th edition, did you play more gunline style or did you play aggressive?
No, I played very aggressive for when I was playing Tyranids.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to answer that for you, but I was on the receiving end of it, so I figured I had a little bit of authority to speak there. Thank you, Ryan.
That's still my play style, and my play style has, like, and Mark, you can attest to this because he's played against me and he's played with me, has bled over into everything I play. I play everything like a Tyranid army that doesn't have guns, even if my army has guns. But yeah, in the local tournament scene, the local play scene, which is just how it is in the Midwest, there's a lot more tournament play, the narrative play. I am known as the how the fuck did Tyranids get in my back line in turn one guy? And it's just the way I play. I'm gonna fucking double move and charge you. If the rules allow me to double move and charge you, I'm going to double move and charge you. Like, it's, if I can get 20 gaunts. Fatality. Yeah. If I can get 20 gaunts surrounding your Lehman Russ. Yeah, sure. Your Lehman Russ isn't going to go down, but you know what? Your Lehman Russ also isn't going to be shooting any of my big shit. So
do you run the Swarm Lord?
I do. Of course I run the Swarm Lord. Bad boys, what you going to do? Nice.
That's him and his Hive Guard.
Has Mark ever killed your Swarm Lord?
Patrick, shut the fuck up. My
Swarm Lord did not die until Crusher Stampede came out. So for like 2 editions and roughly however many games you want to roll into what that statement means. So 8th edition, 9th edition, never lost my Swarm Lord. Crusher Stampede rolled around. I got 2 or 3 games in Crusher, and then my Swarm Lord just started dropping. Like, just kind of randomly too. Yeah. And I can't even tell you why. Because it's not like he got worse. It just started dropping.
High priority target.
Yeah.
Definitely. Well,
there's a lot of soup players out here, and a lot of it's Imperial soup. So there's also players in my local group that are in the top, like, 20, top 10 in the nation as far as, like, Best Coast pairings and stuff go. These guys are always in the top whatever ranks of all of these events. So that could be part of it too, is I was playing in the, you know, doing push-ups and enhanced gravity like Goku, so to speak.
So it's a hyperbolic time chamber. No, that's not the hyperbolic time chamber.
Whatever, dude.
I forgot what it was called. It was the gravity.
I literally dropped all of my anime knowledge in half a sentence and you actually'd me. So, you know. Just be happy I knew his name was Goku, bro.
Actually, it was Vegeta that trained more in the...
Oh, my God.
No. It was definitely Goku. I remember it took him a year to get there.
That was just on the way to Namek, all right? After that, it was constantly Vegeta. I feel like Vegeta definitely spent more time in the gravity training ship.
No, he didn't. He was too busy fucking Bulma. What are you talking about?
All right. That's your favorite game mechanics-wise. What was your favorite lore-wise? Or do you have a favorite lore-wise?
How much do you know about lore before you listen to the podcast?
Not that much. And honestly, it's not really just one army about lore. It's a lot of them, and like more of the obscure parts. Like as far as, like, we're, you know, Tau is what we're looking at right now. They're ethereals, how they're, there's, like, I don't know, thoughts that they're controlling
the rest of the sucks.
Yeah.
That sex pheromone that they just released.
Yeah, they're like they're taller than regular, you know, the regular Tau warriors, and
the maybe leader they class.
Could be a, yeah, maybe they could be a, like almost another species, stuff like that, and like
yeah,
definitely
Tin Hat stuff. Yeah,
yeah, like the I forget the name of the fleet, the Tyranid fleet that's on that planet building that little, other, you know.
Oh, yeah, Tiamat. Is Tiamat the ones that are off on their own building like giant supercontinent? Yeah, we covered them not too long ago. They were not our last faction. I think our last faction was Gene Stealer cults.
Yeah. I remember you talking. I waited and watched all, I think it was three parts of
For the
Tyranids. Yeah, I was like, oh, this is awesome. I don't want it to end. And then it ended. And I was like, oh, well.
Now, how did you feel about the Imperial Guard episodes as they got to like episode 6?
Man, I was so mad that Mark was not on the Yarrick one. I was so mad about that.
Sorry, okay.
Oh, that's right. We did it. Yeah, Heroes of 40K Yarrick.
I had to get penis smaller surgery. All right. What's the opposite of enlargement? I don't think that was possible
for you, man.
What's the opposite of enlargement?
Somebody was like, 2 inches is too much. And he's like, fine, we can go to 1. It would be a reduction, Mark. That's the word you're looking for.
2 inches of pain, all right? That's what they used to call me.
Reduction, 2 inches of pain.
That was my old nickname back in the day.
All right, so you've been playing since 4th edition, 5th edition fairly regularly. You said you kind of... Now, did you not play 6th and 7th, or did you play 6th, kind of break for 7th?
So I played 5th, 6th, 7th, well, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, and then I saw what 8 was, and I was like, no. And so I waited for that, and then 9th was coming out. I'm like, oh, maybe they're going to bring back initiative and all this stuff, and then they didn't. So I was like, all right, fine, I guess I'll join them. And then, you know, 10th edition's coming out, and it's completely rewriting it again. So, I'm not looking forward to a new change.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely had some good times back in the older editions. But I mean, I'm always open to, you know, a fresh outlook.
Check it out.
I might not like it. I don't know. And I mean, just to keep this episode timeless, future Mark, if you're listening to this and you like 10th edition, just, you know, make sure you let past Mark know that he was, you know,
wrong. Yeah, I mean, right. Exactly. One of those.
So do you know anything about fantasy, because you got into 40K, and I know fantasy was, I believe, more popular than 40K at the time, if not 50-50.
If it ever was.
No, fantasy was not as popular as 40K?
Not that I've known. I've always seen that 40K was extremely more popular.
Well, you guys, so you got involved. What year do you think you got involved?
I'm going to say like 2000, 2001.
Okay, 2000, 2001. And then the when you started being like active in the community and actively playing, was that around the same time, or was that a couple years later?
That was 2009, 2010.
So we were, I mean, Warhammer Fantasy Battle at that point was in, if not cresting, the end times. In fact, honestly, the end times may have been a little bit before that. And that was kind of the death of Warhammer Fantasy Battle. Warhammer Fantasy Battle's height of popularity, I would say, was late 90s, early 2000s.
Okay.
Maybe even mid 90s to late 90s. Warhammer 40K definitely got a lot more representation too, especially in smaller, not smaller, but like more local game store style, because 8th edition Fantasy Battle, which was the end times, was not really well received. There were a lot of problems with the game. The game had started to kind of wane, and a lot of it was just weird rules changes. Guns got involved, steam tanks got involved, and stuff started to kind of fall apart.
A lot of feels bad at the time.
Wheels started to fall off the machine, so to speak. So there was a lot of people leaving. I'm sorry to inject that little bit of like, this is what was happening in the timeline.
So what did you know, or did you know or care about Fantasy Battle at all?
No, not at all.
yeah, fuck that shit.
But Age of Sigmar, right? That's the new fantasy, right?
Yeah,
essentially.
Do you think that they'll ever do something like that with 40K, where it's like rebranded and renamed? And what do you think guys think the name would be?
I don't think they'd ever do it with 40K. And the reason I don't think they would ever do it with 40K is they did it with Fantasy to reset the IP and to restart what they were doing. And the majority of the reason that they did that is so much of the old world was based on, or is based in, realistically, this kind of like Tolkien-esque tweak of our actual planet. If you look at the map, the fantasy world map, and you look at the real world map, there's a lot of similarities between the way that they both look. And that's one of those kind of like hallmarks, really, of like early fantasy writing. And so much of Warhammer Fantasy Battle was them just like throwing shit at the wall and seeing what stuck. And when they transitioned into Age of Sigmar, at least in my opinion, I think they kind of really identified an interesting story and an interesting mechanic and an interesting fantasy world. And they rebuilt it and recreated it into a very functional side element, you know, this thing that happened. And in my opinion, Warhammer 40K kind of has always had that. You know, they started off with the same roots where they kind of took these traditional fantasy races and all of that, but they very quickly tweaked it. And none of the traditional fantasy races really came across to the sci-fi world the same way. And I'm sure there are examples, but I would be hard pressed as somebody who's really into this stuff to find an example of another fantasy, sci-fi fantasy system, a science fantasy system that has an analog, that they all have analogs to, but has an analog that is like, you know, the Eldari are space elves, the Squats are space dwarves. Like, there were all those jokes, and that really wasn't a huge thing. You know, you had Shadowrun, which had legitimate elves and legitimate dwarves because of the way that the Shadowrun world works, but Shadowrun doesn't take place in space, as an example. Battletech never really dabbled with, you know, Battletech's got a bunch of alien races and stuff like that, but Battletech never really dabbled in the, like, well, these are elves and these are dwarves. Nobody really took fantasy races and then moved them into space and then made them work. And then at the same time, as 40K, as that the system was developing, they were doing a lot of changes to everything at the ground up. So I don't think they need to Etch-a-Sketch End of the World and restart 40K. I also think that since Warhammer 40K was built on a principle of guns exist, you know, and they worked melee in, and they've got this kind of like balance between melee and firearms, which we've all kind of bitched about since second edition, and it's never really changed in a satisfactory way. And some people are really pissed at the melee doesn't work the way that it should. And some people are really pissed that the range doesn't work the way that it should. It really depends on what side of the coin you're on in whatever particular argument. But because they started out with both of them in it, I don't really see a reason for there to be like a big mechanical rules breakdown that happens, which is the truth behind a chunk of why people started leaving Fantasy Battle. A lot of the Fantasy Battle guys had been historic wargamers. So these were guys that enjoyed the Avalon Hill games and wanted to like replay the 300 Spartans versus the Persians. That was the style. So as soon as you got out of, you know, you introduce fantasy elements to that style of gaming, and everybody's kind of okay with it. You know, you got your bowmen and you've got your swords and you've got your pikes and all of that, and you're still essentially playing out a medieval war game. As soon as they introduced the steam tank and rifles in, I want to say like 6th or 7th edition Fantasy Battle, it started to divide people because the mechanics were broken. You know, a steam tank would be the ultimate
obliterate a bunch of spearmen, yeah,
to a different army. And 40K doesn't necessarily have that problem. Now, could they do it? They could totally do it. They could introduce something that completely breaks the game. But I don't see it happening. What I could see happening, and I don't know if this is what you're driving at, but what I could see happening would be that the nine realms of Age of Sigmar are only part of the picture, and that there's a 10th realm or an 11th realm, which is the 40K universe. So there's all these different, I don't know how familiar you are with Age of Sigmar, but essentially The world exploded, and then Sigmar got all of the old gods back together, minus the chaos gods, of course, and was like, hey, we need to save our people, so we're going to create these nine realms. And the nine realms are essentially like nine planets. And you kind of get the idea that they're a little bit, you know, their planets are like flat earths. They're like disks or whatever. But you get the idea that they're quite a bit smaller than a full planet. You know, it might only be a continent or a continent and a half worth of space. So there's these nine that exist, and it's kind of suggested that they exist in this like warp soup, so to speak. Like they're just out in the warp somewhere. And I would not be surprised if, you know, I don't think it'll happen 10th edition. I don't think it'll happen 11th edition, but I don't think it'll happen with 10th edition, but I would not be surprised that like 11th edition, 12th edition, we see that re-merging, that rogue trader era stuff come back in, where now you can take a fucking chaos space marine with your slaves to darkness because the 10th realm is 40K and you have enough points and you've warped this guy in and he can now think. But I don't think we'll see an Etch-a-Sketch end of 40K and a rebranding, I guess.
Yeah, I feel like, and for my portion of it, I feel like...
So you follow that one up, Mark.
mine's not going to be as elaborate just because, you know, I'm me and I keep it, you know, short and simple, kind of like my mind. So it's...
Just letting you know, dick. Ryan and basically said you could learn...
Thank you, Ryan. Thank you.
You could learn geography from playing fantasy, Mark.
All right. Well, then I don't want to play fantasy. So
you just talked him out of Skaven. Good job, man.
Thanks. My bad. Thanks for ruining that for me. No, I don't think that there's going to be a world ending event to that degree where the game completely changes. I feel like you get that from 30K to 40K with the introduction of like Xenos races and, the Cicatrix Maledictum. I say that right?
Yeah, you got it right. You got it.
Yeah. Okay. And with the introduction of that, like, I feel like 30K is fantasy and Age of Sigmar is 40K. I already feel like they have their big, IPs, right? They're big versions of the game. Where if you wanted to play something a little more old school, you would play 30K, you would play Fantasy Battle. Or if you want to play something a little more, not up to date, but a little more in the future of that setting, you would play 40K or you would play Age of Sigmar. They could definitely have like large events like the Cicatrix Maledictum and Cadia Falling, and like those are huge, right? You know, the Emperor dying could be the next big thing, but I don't think it would be game ending to where they would have
you watch your mouth.
Complete new version. The Emperor deserves to die. He's an asshole. So
we've been going through like 30K lead up to Horus Heresy. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sure you listen to the podcast, but like Mark is just getting the Mark's boiling point. The needle on his rage meter every time we talk about what the Emperor did just ratchets up a little bit.
Fuck that guy. I don't know how anybody could like him. He killed off the Thunder Warriors like they were nothing. That's not fucking cool, dude.
Because they were nothing.
That's a wrong take, all right? That is the wrong opinion to have. So
everyone's entitled to my opinion.
So what are some of the, I guess, good memories you have of 40K? Most likely the ones with me, I'm just saying. What are some of the most, you know, the best memories you have, and like what's a bad memory? Like what's one of those things where you're like, I have one essentially where I almost quit 40K. Like I was like, I don't want to deal with this. This is not what I wanted out of this hobby. I was almost done, right? And I've shared that in the past. Do you have any scenarios like that where you had like really good, really, really good times of the hobby where you're like, fuck, like I'm going to do this forever. And times where you're like, I don't even want to bother.
Wow. Well, when your dog took my jean stealer, that made me not, yeah. that wasn't a great memory.
That wasn't a great moment for me either. Yeah.
All right. Now, story time. What happened?
So we were playing at his, you want to tell it?
No. Go ahead. You remember it a different way. I probably shouldn't tell my side of the story.
Oh, okay. So we were playing at his first house, which, you know, he wasn't making that much money in the military. So it was really bad. Little tiny house.
Little duplex.
No room for a table. And he had this dog that I guess his neighbors just dumped. Abandoned.
Yeah. And I see why now.
So he has that dog in his house, and so we're playing. I bought the we don't have a table, but I bought the what is it, the Citadel table that came in like six different tiles.
Yeah, the old
plastic table battle.
Those things are sweet too.
Yeah, that was really cool. But anyway, so we're playing on the ground, and I'm setting up my gene stealers, and this little dog comes out of nowhere, grabs one, bites it, and just takes off into the room. Her name was Tortilla?
Yeah.
She wasn't a flower, I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah, she was could be corn tortilla.
Tortilla?
Yeah, she was abandoned by my neighbor and, you know, my wife, being the blessed soul that she was, decided to take her in. Against my better judgment, but she's still alive to this day. By the way, she lives with my mom.
Why?
Finish
the job, Mark.
so she grabbed a gene stealer, chomped on it, and just took off with
and
it.
Took off, and then me being the amazing friend that I am, I ran after her and retrieved the gene stealer with little to no damage.
Well, you were eager to do that.
What's that? Bro,
if you were either going to do that, I was going to beat your ass.
That's fair.
That was your bad experience? That's the worst experience you've ever had? Okay.
No.
That was a good experience, then we're in for a treat.
I've got a couple of ones. So another one was the reason I don't play competitively or in a tournament setting is I did once, and then I went to the bathroom and came back, and some of my miniatures were missing.
Jesus.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so that definitely, it was not good.
Oh, shit. How old were you when that happened?
I was like 13, maybe.
Dude, that's fucked. Are you serious?
Yeah.
That's, wow.
Okay. Yeah, that's super fucked up.
Yeah, that was...
There was definitely a time in 40K that was common, though, unfortunately. There was definitely a weird time in 40K where table etiquette was not what it is now. And I honestly kind of feel like that's sort of the backing to ask before you touch my models, that whole thing. Some people care about it a lot and some people don't. But there was definitely a time where, like, don't leave your table, don't leave your dice. Like, it was shifty. It was definitely shifty. And I feel like some of it's like there wasn't really organized play. Play was whatever tournament play was whatever group decided to put on the tournament. And now that there's like structured tournament play to it, I feel that the stores and G-Dub have a lot more to lose if shit like that happens. So it doesn't happen that often. But
yeah, 100%.
That really sucks.
That's some shit, dude. That's a bad story.
Awful.
Yeah.
I couldn't even imagine.
I've been scarred.
yeah, I could see that for sure, dude, because that's hard to imagine even nowadays, like, because some of the settings that I'm in, that's why I think I feel a little, especially if you bring, like, a large army. Growing up how I did, you never leave your stuff around. Like, I've had, for my 12th birthday, I think I got a Game Boy, and... I used to ride the bus to school, and I remember when I rode the bus with a lot of ghetto
the
bus. Kids.
Play the sad song now. You rode the bus,
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? I'm not gonna play it. All right. So you know what? I rode the bus when I was a little kid, and the crowd that was on that bus were not the nicest people. Because I grew up in a not great neighborhood. And I remember taking my Game Boy Color to school against my mom's judgment. She was like, don't take this to school. People are going to steal it from you. Lo and behold, I take it to school. I take it on the bus, and a very, very much larger kid than me decides to take it away from me. Luckily, I was able to get it back. My mom would have beat my ass if I didn't come back home with that. But, yeah, ever since then, I don't like people touching my stuff. That's one of those things that definitely scarred me. So I feel for you, especially, like, dude, there's nothing, you're powerless. There's nothing you can do. So I definitely feel that way. Like, not to sound like a weak person, but I get anxiety. Yeah, weird person. I get anxiety when I take very large amount of models to like a competition setting because of that.
Is that why I always
got to pack my shit up, keep my shit, like always keep an eye on my shit. I don't really let people look after my stuff unless like I fucking know the person to a strong degree.
Is that why you chose Death Watch, like an elite small army?
Yeah, definitely. Didn't want to bring a lot of stuff, so it's a lot easier for me to keep an eye on my stuff. I like to keep all my stuff like super tight to myself if I'm not in the middle of a game. Like it's just one of those things. Just how I grew up, you know, scarred individual.
And the worst time I've ever had with 40K was in one turn. I deep strike my Trigon. This is back when Trigons were, you know, they first came out, and 6 wounds. Oh my God. How do you have 6 wounds on that thing? It deep strikes in, it can't assault to the next turn. But remember Sean?
Mark? Yeah, I do remember, yeah. Sean.
He had a little, like five tactical marines that shot him with bolt pistols, not bolters, bolt pistols, wounded him down to like 2 wounds, and then assaulted and killed him. It was embarrassing.
That's a little rough. It's almost like the time that when me and you were playing against Sean and I drop putted my stern guard in and blew up his land raider with my stern guard, and then dropped a second drop pod in and then shot all the terminators inside it and killed it.
And he was so proud because he just painted the land raider and the terminators the night before.
And
it always happens. You paint something, you buy something new, you get it all ready, you paint it all up. Something happens, and then it just fucking dies immediately.
Yeah, Sean definitely wanted to beat the shit out of me. So
no, he wanted to beat the shit out of me because I have a nervous tic that when something's uncomfortable, I start laughing.
So
I was laughing at him.
So he's like, "Why are you laughing at my misfortune?" And you're just laughing harder. This is not helping.
Exactly. I was out of breath from laughing that I couldn't say why.
It was so bad, dude. I think that was around the same time that Sean, I don't know if everybody remembers the story of the guy that rolled really bad, put all of his dice in a circle, and the dice that rolled really bad, he put it in the center of that circle of dice and then smashed it with the hammer. And said,
I remember this story.
This is what will happen to you if you roll that shitty on me. I have that set of dice, by the way, that red and with blue
that,
set.
With that broken die?
With the one dice that's missing. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Sean gave me those dice.
I wonder why. So,
yeah. Whoops.
He's like, these suck. You can fucking have them.
I'm not going to lie. The amount of people that got upset about my Stern Guard drop pod list was a pretty good amount. Not going to lie. A lot of people got upset at that list.
Yeah, that list should be illegal.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. It was pretty bad.
But you still played it anyways.
One of the worst experiences I had was because of that list. Imperial Guard player. And he, like, that was the guy that, like, banged his fist on the table and yelled really loud and got really upset.
Upset for no fucking reason.
Well, I mean, he was upset because my Stern Guard ripped his ass open and dropped
obliterated his ass.
Yeah. So there was that, and there was a couple more because of that list, but that is what that was, 5th edition, right? You know, that was back in the day. It's a little different.
The best edition. So
what's your good story? What's one of your good stories then? A good 40K story.
I mean, one of my favorite moments was when Mark killed
all. Don't you fucking do it. Don't you fucking do it.
Where he assaulted my termagant brood with his Terminator squad, and it was down to one Terminator and one termagant, and he swung with that fist, and he missed every swing, and then that termagant took its rending toe and stuck it directly in that Terminator's asshole.
I can't believe it. Yeah. I can't believe this is your good story. This is your good story.
Yeah, the rending toe.
Not allowed on the podcast again. Banished.
Marky, how does that story make you feel?
All right, first of all, First of all,
on a 1 to Thunder Warriors, how does that make you feel?
All right. First of all, how dare you? All right. How dare you bring this story up as your good story? You had so many fucking stories. So many. And that's the one that you bring up. You could have been like that time that me and Mark played a huge ass game of 40K all night, drank Mountain Dew and ate pizza. Like it was amazing. Like, I mean, you had to bring up the fucking Terminator rending toe story. Really? I was so upset in my blind rage. I was like, what the fuck does this gun have a fucking rending toe? And that's where that came from. And now Patrick likes to throw it in my face.
Well, you know, to, pivot from that. So we kept making the joke, rending toe. So, and those are salamanders that he was using at the time. So I bought the Death Watch kit. And I took one of the models, put the shoulder pad on for the salamanders, took the feet for the flying hive tyrants, those little talon feet, cut it off, and made the toe into a scythe. Cool. So now the salamander has a rending toe scythe.
That's some bullshit.
There you go. Yep. What's your so normally when we do good and the bad, we don't do good and the bad and the ugly. We do good, the bad, and the weird. So what's a just fucking, I can't believe this shit happened at a table. I can't believe this happened in a game. I can't believe the dice rolled this way.
Oh gosh. That Termagant was pretty much my biggest one because I was just so, I was like, yeah, this is gone.
But how about that time I killed your swarm lord?
I'm still waiting.
All right.
I want to know.
Okay, that right. Model.
All right, what's going on with the Swarm Lord thing? Because this has come up twice now. So there's the Swarm Lord story. Come on.
So he's never actually killed my Swarm Lord.
That's a lie. That's a lie.
No, you haven't.
To be fair,
I did run him with 3 Tyrant Guard always. So to make sure he couldn't kill him. But he would always try making a point to do so. And he would always come short.
About that time Vulcan killed him, huh? About that.
No, I don't remember that.
So did you play Marky? How often did you guys play against each other back in the day? Did you guys play fairly regularly?
Probably around maybe like once or twice a week, depending.
Okay.
And then once I moved from California to Tennessee, it's been once every 10 years.
we definitely played every week at the very least. I moved my wife down to San Diego. The year before I got out of the military. So I was living in that really shitty house alone. And Patrick was EASing out of the military. So I was telling him, hey, dude, like, you don't got to stay in the barracks. You come stay at my place. We can just fucking chill. We're on the same shift, so I can take you to work. And then we can just play some 40K and fuck around. So we pretty much did that every week. And those were definitely some of the best times of my 40K. Not that I don't have good times now, but you know, it's those old stories that you can reminisce about, and those are definitely that for me. And then after he EAS'd, I think like a year or two after he got out or I got out, I took some time off and I flew out to Tennessee, and we stayed up for a whole weekend, slept for like 4 hours, and then went straight back to 40K, and it was just 40K for 72 hours straight practically.
Nice.
Oh yeah, about that time that you did come here and we did that, that's another crazy story where I don't know if you remember the Farsight bomb, where it was Farsight's warlord trait was that he can deep strike wherever he wants to. So if you attach him to a squad with another commander and then, you know, full 8 crisis suits, like 36 drones and everything, it's the Farsight bomb. It's really powerful. It could target lock, choose all these different units, and pretty much obliterate anything. The problem is it has to start in deep strike for that to be effective. And it didn't come into like the 5th turn because it kept missing the reserve roll.
Right.
And so yeah, that when half or over half your army is in reserve and he's just obliterating me with his 2000 points against my 900. It was pretty bad.
It was great. It was amazing.
It was a gamble.
No, but Tom likes to play or liked to play the Farsight bomb, and he still did back when he still played his Tau. But now he's a dirty Imperial Knight player, so there's that.
The Disney Knights, right?
Yeah, yep. Yeah, he plays his Knights now.
Is there an art? Go for it. Sorry. Didn't mean to
interrupt. No. I like where you're going with it. Go ahead.
Is there an army that you're looking at picking up next, or something that you're interested in doing, investing some time, or even, yeah, do you have a future hobby plan you want to share with us?
Oh, I have a few. I wanted to do Necron, but I want to do like old school Necron where they're not Egyptian gods or whatever, where they're, you know, more robotic. I want to use like T-800 models.
I was going to say Terminator-esque. Yeah.
And like the T-600, the ones that were rubber flesh, use them as like flayed ones, and, you know, kind of like mess around with all the Terminator.
Dude, hell yeah, that's robots. Sick.
And then Sisters of Battle would be painting them all to look like anime chicks from various different anime I've watched.
That's kind of dope. I like that. What's your favorite anime, Patrick? I didn't know you liked watching anime.
Dude, I'm really basic. It was pretty much just Gundam.
I was gonna say Naruto. What are we talking?
Sword Art Online. Yeah, that one.
You ever watched Berserk?
No. Sean tried to get me to watch it, but I was
you need to watch Berserk. Cool. Don't be a bitch. Watch Berserk.
I've seen Seven Deadly Sins. I thought that was pretty good.
Seven Deadly Sins is dope. I was watching that with the family. This is not an anime podcast by any means, and Ryan hates this.
Y'all always trying to change it to a fucking anime podcast. Hey, I knew Sword Art Online.
Yeah, I like the...
I knew where he was driving. I was like, I got you. I pick up the name you're trying to say.
Have you ever watched Gun Gale Online? It's a spinoff of Sword Art.
I've seen parts of that, and I've also seen the movie.
My daughter. I didn't know there was a movie.
Yeah, there was a movie. I mean,
everybody listening to this pod is like, I can't fucking believe this is what I'm listening to on a 40K podcast.
Okay, that's it. Heart stop.
So what inspired you? So obviously, you know, with the old school Terminator army, you're wanting to find a bunch of like Terminator models to make Necrons. Are you looking at the old second edition, third edition Necron kit itself, or are you looking at
third party,
like totally kit bashing,
like third party, like 3D printing? I've seen a couple of them online, but nothing with variety.
Yeah,
for a cheap price. Yeah,
no, I like that idea. That's really dope.
That is pretty cool. I really do like these old guys, though. I've got a couple of them. I'm always kind of on the lookout for the more
satellite
of them.
Satellite dishes.
Yeah, these dudes.
Yeah, those look dope. I like them a lot.
They're super cool.
I have that one. Go exit out of that picture once.
Oh wait.
That one right. That one right below those. Go down.
That guy right there.
No. Go down. To the right. You're the right. That one right there. Boom.
This guy.
Yeah. I have that guy.
Yeah. What? Yeah. This dude's dope. I'm always trying to find these old guys. Like I'd scour eBay and stuff to try to find them.
It reminds me of what was it called? I think it's like the Imperial Space Marine. You know what I'm talking about, Ryan? It's the Beaky that has like the look it up for $369. You can see what we're all talking about. But I'm pretty sure it's called the Imperial Space Marine, and it's like a specialty or like a special Space Marine model that only came out like in a certain amount of time, and it's worth like $600 for that one model or something. It's something gnarly like that.
Oh yeah, one,
dude, I fucking love that model. I wish I could get my hands on it. Yeah, the Imperial Space Marine, that model. Yeah. So I believe it had its own special rules too.
See, I'm not a fan of the beak unless they're for like the assault marines.
I agree.
I like beakies, but I like beakies from a orc standpoint.
I gotcha. Yeah, I'm not a fan of the beak helmet either, but just for some reason this Space Marine just looks dope to me. Is there any faction that you love playing against? It's okay to say Deathwatch.
I feel like you'll
it's okay,
you'll
be it's upset okay to say,
I
Deathwatch.
Say Deathwatch.
I would be very upset if you didn't say Deathwatch. But you're okay. You can have your own opinion. It's fine.
No. It's mostly.
It's very generous of you, Mark, to allow him to have his own opinion.
Yeah, your opinion can be wrong. It can be wrong. But I just go ahead.
Wow. No, I'm not scared to answer. either Deathwatch or Imperial Guard, just for the. I like the Imperial Guard for the Starship Troopers aspect of it.
Hell yeah!
When I'm playing Tyranids.
All right. So what is your second favorite army to play? So I know you like playing your Tyranids, but what's like the what's your next go to?
Tau.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. What do you like playing against with your Tau?
Tyranids.
That's fair. That's fair. It's like a gun line versus a horde, pretty much. Like the aesthetic of gun line versus horde. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Agreed. Agreed. I've said it time and time again. It's from the times that we've played in the past, but my favorite army to play against has always been Tyranids. But it has to, like, it doesn't have to be, but I really appreciate horde Tyranids. I'm not as much of a fan against shooty Tyranids or monster mash Tyranids.
That's why I don't like this codex, man. Like, they raised the prices of all the gaunts.
Yeah, so it's very monster mashy, right? That's why, what was it, the Crusher Stampede? Wasn't really a fan of it. It kind of took the magic away of Tyranids from me. Like, I like Tyranids. I like the aesthetic. I love Starship Troopers, dude. I've already watched it, like, 3 times this year. I literally just watched it last week. I know, right? Literally just watched it last week, and Tom sent me another video of Starship Troopers and, like, the history behind, like, all the movies and shit, and I just watched that today.
Oh, dude.
You are nerding it up, bro. That's a little crazy, dude.
I know.
We have a somebody at work who, he went from an L1 to an L4 or 5 in, like, a 2-month period because we had a new manager, and they're like, hey, you know all this stuff. Well, you know, you want this job. So they bumped him up, and so I posted a picture of Rico from Starship Troopers. And then I'm like, Chris is the only person who had a higher come up than Rico from Starship Troopers because he goes from boot camp to, like, colonel in the first movie alone.
Yeah, I think it was lieutenant. He hit lieutenant at the end of the movie.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? That
it was private, squad leader, back down to private, to corporal, to sergeant, to lieutenant. Don't ask me how I know this.
Because you've watched the movie 3 fucking times this year. That's how you fucking know. I think I probably watch it, like, maybe once a year.
It's just so nice to go back to. It is. It's an amazing movie.
But speaking of...
It's an amazing...
Those are all words in English.
It's an amazing movie, Ryan. I need to hear you say it.
It's an entertaining movie. I like it quite a bit. I wouldn't say it's...
You know they're remaking it, right,
Mark? It's actually pretty good.
What did you just say?
It's actually pretty good.
No, I'm talking to Patrick. But you too. I didn't hear amazing come out of your mouth, so I'm a little hurt right now. What the hell did you say?
They're remaking the movie.
Get out. No, they're not.
Yeah, they are. I'm not even joking.
I guess this is one of those things where, like, I'm in the dark about it until it's actually out.
All right. So you had a... Speaking of Crusher Stampede.
Oh, yeah. You know, we were talking about them adding a new Xenos faction. What if they make a Crusher Stampede, a Xenos faction, like an army of nothing but big bugs that they haven't released yet? Kind of like with the Imperial.
That'd be super fucking awesome. Or like Heraduels are your smallest unit in the army. Yeah. That would be dope. And that I could see that happening. That would definitely be a little bit more on the elite side. Or, yeah, Marky, like you said, maybe something with Zotes. That'd be cool, too.
Yeah, Zotes and, like, an Imperial, like, Imperial Knight kind of deal. Yeah. So, like, Zotes are, like, the leaders, and then they have big-ass Xeno monsters. Or
giant Stoner Rippers.
Dude. I was so pissed that Stone Crushers got kind of...
Yeah, they got shafted.
Yeah. Anyway, it happened. Well, anything else that you can think of? Anything that we seem to have left out? Any other... Last minute questions. You have any questions for us?
Oh boy, this feels like a real interview now. So, Mark, what was your favorite memory against playing me?
Yeah, no, you got to answer it.
I mean, if I have to,
was it all your failed attempts to kill my swarm lord?
So, Patrick. I played him this one time. It's not my favorite story, but it's definitely a story I'm going to bring up because it crushed Patrick's heart, and he deserves that for making me feel the way that I'm feeling right now about his stupid-ass swarm lord. Swarmy mix fucking swarmingson. So this one time we were playing, Patrick has... a metal hive tyrant with metal wings that he green stuffed onto the back of this hive tyrant. And these wings, for anybody that's worked with pewter and green stuff and trying to attach pewter to pewter, It just,
it's not pewter. They were plastic. They're plastic.
The wings were plastic.
The wings were plastic from the Lord of the Rings Balrog set.
Oh, really? Oh, nice. Okay. I know exactly the wings you're talking about.
I thought they were pewter. Was the Hive Tyrant pewter?
Yes.
Okay. Maybe that. Okay. So I got it reversed. Well, anybody who's worked with green stuff and pewter know that pewter doesn't like to attach to other things very well. That's why, Abaddon and his arms keep fucking falling off because of pewter.
But you drill them?
Yeah. So
like an adult, you put a pin in that shit.
So this is the first time that that Patrick has fielded this Hive Tyrant.
Those wings right there.
And I decided with my stern guard to turn one, pop this Hive Tyrant that he's never used. And Patrick picks up this Hive Tyrant and drops it in a box. And the wings pop off. And I was like, okay, I probably fucked up. Probably should have let him have a little fun with this new model that he just put together and put on the field. I fucked. But in my defense, he was talking up this Hive Tyrant so much, and I was terrified of it. I was terrified. I already didn't like Swarm Lords, right? And regular Hive Tyrants, let alone a Hive Tyrant that could fly. And he's like, I'm gonna fly across the field. I'm gonna fuck you up. Now. You can't stop. Like, yeah, it was bad. And I was like, all right, cool. Bet. I'm gonna drop my stern guard down and I'm gonna pop it because I don't want it to do anything bad to me. And I did. And Patrick decided to drop it in a box because it deserved it, apparently. it was not my best moment. You know, I could have let him have a little fun. But,
screw you know, Mark.
We live and we learn. We live and we learn, right?
So, Ryan.
Uh-oh. shit.
Why aren't you working for Games Workshop? You seem to have a better handle on this business than they do. At least writing the rules writing the rules based on the lore would be a lot better than what we have now. Where you can't even move a vehicle and get out in the same turn. You know?
Hey, that's going away in 10th, apparently.
Ramp is coming back, baby.
I've had a really weird relationship with working in the game industry. I've run through working in the sign industry. I ended up running a gaming convention in San Diego, and then running a game convention in San Diego led to a larger gaming convention in San Diego. And then COVID led to all that being shuttering and us starting the podcast. I'd love to work with Games Workshop. Let me take that back. I wouldn't mind working for or with Games Workshop. I would love to work for a small game company. If there was a smaller game company that was looking for a creative writer, a game mechanics writer, somebody who does kind of all the little stuff I do, I would absolutely love to work with or for them. I would not turn down. Working for Games Workshop was kind of like a dream when I was studying illustration. John Blanche is one of my more favorite artists from that, like, kind of, I don't even know what you'd call it, like dirty 80s role playing game aesthetic. That style, he's one of my more favorite artists. So I definitely had an aspiration to work for them back in the day. I guess thanks. I wouldn't mind it. I do really like creating content though. I like doing this sort of stuff. And if I could turn doing this sort of stuff into more of a full-time job, even if it does mean that I'm writing for other game companies or I'm writing games that we work on and we sell, like, it's all sort of within where I'd love to be. I really like the setting that Games Workshop developed for 40K quite a bit. I actually really like the fantasy setting too. So yeah, I don't know. Thank you. I feel like that was more of a compliment than a question.
Have you thought about creating your own?
Hire me.
Your own miniature game with all, you know, cause you're great at writing. I'll tell you that.
Thank you. I've considered the idea of it. So my big goal is to write a novel set in my own universe, my fantasy world, which is Galdor. And as I've been developing the magic system of Galdor, I've been looking a little bit more at like how the mechanics of like war would work in that world, because it's definitely a different fantasy world. It's not a very traditional fantasy world. The guns are a thing for one. Magic is kind of like the equivalent of a nuclear weapon for another, which is a something I think kind of just happens in fantasy anyway. Like Gandalf is a dude with a nuclear football. You can think of him however you want to, but that's really what he represents in the story. So I've kind of toyed around with the idea of what maybe a skirmish game would look like, you know, as far as you use the rules that I develop to like write these five characters, and then you play those five characters on top of each other. On top of that, we've also really, really talked. We've talked a lot about writing the rules for Murder Ball, and the way that a Murder Ball team would work in the Underhive, and kind of having like a Blood Bowl, a 40K version of Blood Bowl in a lot of ways.
Yeah, not to mention our Under the Hive of Madness RPG.
Yeah, the RPG stuff too.
Which I do have some playtesters for, so if we ever do delve into that a little bit more, definitely have people interested in trying it. Besides our community, of course.
There's a time to quotient happening right now.
Yep.
Yeah, unfortunately. But yeah, definitely stuff that I'm super interested in doing as time allows.
Yeah. The End of the Hive of Madness RPG is basically like a D&D, but set in our hive, where you would start as a ganger or a mutant or something along those lines and then work your way up.
And using a different rule system, because I'm not really a huge, like, I don't mind D&D.
Right.
I have a favorite system, so yeah.
Right on.
I feel like we just interviewed, like, for a job. Some good hard-hitting questions back. I want to say, Marky, you had a question about, or some statement about being an old-ass Warhammer player that you wanted to make fun of me for, and it got forgotten. Do you remember what it was?
Just wanted to touch. I mean, maybe we'll have a Patrick Part 2 or something.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Return of the Parasite.
Yeah, but more wanted to delve into the closet Warhammer players and kind of what that time was like versus now. Not that we have to touch on that now, but maybe we could touch on it on a future episode.
Yeah. I didn't have, so I guess that's kind of where I'll finish up on that and give you guys something to, I guess, think about. I never really had that. I kind of did the, like, I'm the cool guy in air quotes thing in high school a little bit. And I was involved with a bunch of different groups, and I didn't really feel super outsider-ish, although I also grew up pretty punk, so I don't know if some of that's it, but like I was a skateboarder, I was a punk music guy, played sport ball, so I never really had that, like, I'm the outsider. Yeah, I was a skate, and she did ballet. But when my like gaming experience hit, I like dived dumb full deep into it. I was the guy that was playing D&D 2 to 3 times a week. I was getting deeper into Warhammer 40K, you know, and again, part of it is like I turned 1920 in the 2000 to 2001 era. I was an adult at that point. And I did a lot of stuff. I had a lot of friends that were in the military, and I had a lot of friends in just kind of different walks of life. And pretty much everybody played games at some level, and it was just sort of like accepted. I guess we didn't necessarily openly talk about it, but it wasn't because we were like trying to hide it. It was just nobody really talked about it. So I never really had that, like, hiding the fact that I played Warhammer Fantasy Battle and I played Warhammer from people. I imagine there were a couple of girls that were probably like, what the fuck is all this shit? But legitimately, if that was the question that was happening on the morning, my response would be like, why the fuck are you still in my house? Like, did you not understand the transaction was, you know, be cool with it or leave before you wake up? I like it. Just one of those. I never necessarily had that. I definitely, from being a tournament organizer really early on, you know, with Pokemon and with Magic the Gathering and with Warhammer 40K, definitely had those, like, what the fuck is wrong with these people experiences, though. I had a lot of those. So I had a lot of like experiences with that type of player. We definitely think I've got a couple of horror stories of that guy.
Yeah,
I could share. But yeah, I never really had that super closeted experience.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
I don't know what it was. I guess we just didn't fucking care in a way. I imagine when I got to a point where I did care again, or I would have cared again, I was just in a different mental headspace. I get, yeah. Because yeah, there was definitely a time where it kind of swung back. You know, I had a girlfriend. I was in a good place. Everything kind of worked the way it was going to. Some shit fell apart. It kind of personal life, some shit fell apart and all of that. And then when stuff unrockied and became more normal and I found myself the outsider in a group was like 2008, 2009-ish time. That was when everything had kind of like put itself back together. And at that point, had I really been thinking about it, maybe that was the time I would have been like, I don't play this child's game. But I don't know. I just think I was angry about different stuff at that point in my life. So, yeah.
Yeah, I guess that.
It's the sometimes, people you
sometimes
surround
I feel
yourself
like,
with.
What am I, you know, what am I doing playing with all these little miniatures? Like, why am I spending so much of my time with this? But then at the same time, it's like, it's relaxing. It's a bonding thing for me and my son. And
yeah,
you know, there's worse things you could be doing. So
yeah, exactly.
100%.
All right, guys. Ever,
oh, okay. Go ahead.
No, go for it. Go for it.
Have you ever sold any of your stuff, Patrick?
Me? No.
Yeah. Okay.
No,
I have not. I've sold my towel. Yeah. I've sold my towel and it's
so you did sell
still,
some of your stuff.
I do regret it. I sold my towel and I bought my Gene Steeler Colt.
My high school girlfriend and I played and we stayed together for, we were together for 4 years post high school and we owned three armies together. And then I owned a fourth, which was my Skaven. And we owned Beast Men together. We owned Lizard Men together and we owned Tomb Kings together. And when we broke up, she essentially she did not like possess any ownership over any of it. It was relatively easy transition. I mean that the breakup was really horrible for completely different reasons, but when it came to splitting hobby stuff, there was no argument, which was fine. But it was just one of those things where like 2 or 3 years later, I was still carrying this shit around and it was like mentally in my head at that, it was her shit, not our shit, not my shit. So I sold those armies, Lizard Men too. And to this day, probably about 6 months after I did it, I was like, you fucking idiot. And to this day, I kick myself for selling 2,000 points of Lizard Men, about 8,000 points in old Beast Men, including like the old Dragon Ogre and the old Shaggoths and everything. A huge Tomb Kings army, and I just a bunch of shit. I kept all my Skaven, but I sold all that stuff, and it's just one of those like I really wish I hadn't done it. and it's so stupid because of course, like, you know, enough time goes by that, are you mature enough, I guess, that you stop associating things with a person? And like I just needed to get over that little extra hump of being mature enough to realize that it had nothing to do with her. Like it really didn't, you know, it was something that we had enjoyed together, but obviously the fact that she didn't fight me for that shit meant that she had no connection to it. So
I could see that.
Yeah.
But I could also see it as a reminder. Way to close it out. On a
way to bring
that
down.
That's what I do. Well, Patrick, thank you very much for joining us and going through one of our community spotlight episodes with us. It'd be great to have you on in the future. Definitely have you on a lore episode. Sounds like you're really kind of hungry to learn some of this stuff and ask the right questions about geography so Marky can learn something. So
right questions that don't have to do with dicks or butts.
Really at first.
But what did Malekith's cock really look like?
it was steel plated and black iron.
Right.
Or black plated and steel. I don't know. One of those. Anyway, if you guys want to get in contact with us about the show or ask any questions about something that we brought up today, maybe you got a question for Patrick or you got some short stories, homebrew lore, or your own spooky dookies, reach out to us by email at underthehiveofmadness@gmail.com or jimdarkgaming@gmail.com. By the way, Patrick, if you've got spooky fucking stories, let us know. We'll bring you on for Loris Obscurus. Those are always fun too.
Man, yes, those things freak me out. Like that one with the doll, like the one he wrote with the doll. Like, nah.
Hey, man, I'm gonna keep writing them. I think that's gonna come back. That was something we did really early on with Loris Obscurus. I think we're gonna keep going. I'm glad that you liked it.
Yeah, I'm a huge Child's Play fan growing up, and my aunt had the doll, and it was nah, man.
I don't play with that. Do you have a scary story?
Besides, you save it for the Lord of Scares. No. No, can't think of any.
But besides meeting Marky,
that was more intimate than scary. But
yes, I knew. I knew him. Bring him to my side.
You could also reach us through our.
Oh, of course, dude. No, was... good.
Were you going to make some dick or butt joke, Mark?
Motherfucker, I'm trying to close out the podcast. Let me finish.
Oh, man, definitely great having you on. We're very, very happy we could finally work it out. Sorry we couldn't drag you on for one of the Tyranid episodes. We did try.
Right? Yeah, you definitely did. Mark did reach out once, and then I was like, all right, so how are we doing this? He's like, oh, we already recorded it.
It's too late.
Yeah, two more.
After episode, it's too late. Sorry. You can also reach us through our community on Discord. There we chat about 40K lore, the hobby, tactics, a little bit of Age of Sigmar, fantasy battle, creative writing, video games, role-playing, and so much more. Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, or at www.underthehiveofmadness.com. Like us and review us wherever you get your podcast fix. Our home is on Spotify, but you can also find us on Apple, Google, Stitcher, Audible, and many more.
Support us through Patreon at www.patreon.com/underthehiveofmadness. Patreon members get access to video podcasts with minimal editing, so you can see our faces, follow along with what we're looking at over here on our screens, and hear our award-winning, Oscar-worthy bloopers in real time. All Patreon levels also get access to our quarterly painting contest, plus we have perks at higher levels, so we definitely suggest you go on over and check it out. By the way, Patrick, are you going to compete in a painting contest? You've been here for a bit.
No. Nah? No, you don't want to see what I paint. It's no.
I mean, I can see a bunch of models behind you. Come on, man.
Yeah, I paint by the pound, not by the quality.
Looking for a place to hang your apron after fourth shift? Come on down to the Hangnail and get in on their endless Sumpmosa and hot dog deal for just 4 credits. The Sumpmosas don't stop flowing and those hot dogs don't quit flying off the grill. Remember, the Hangnail is neutral territory for all hive gangs, even those that carry badges. Proving overgrown mutant rats aren't the only unwholesome creature let loose across the Underhive, we are the Lost Souls of Rebellion, 665.66 UHMR Chemrat Radio. Reminding all of you Chemrats, Hive Mice, and Sump Ghoulies to keep those dials fixed right here, same ratty frequency for the same ratty-ass attitude. She woke up to an unusual skittering in their hab. She looked over as the creature that laid where her cybermastiff used to be unfolded to reveal its true four-armed form.
Run.
All right, motherfuckers.